we got up to the point where everything Elihu has said has really hit home for Eov, and now he's finally getting it. He's hearing it, and he's like, "Oh, okay, now what do I do?" So Vayan Hashem is Eov min hasa'ara vayomar. So Kadosh Baruch Hu answered Eov from the storm, and he said the following. Okay, it's clear. Eov has now reached a level where he was able to reach a prophecy. He was able to receive a prophecy from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He was not in this level before, possibly because of what Elihu told him, more because of his acceptance of what he needs to do and how he needs to go through. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaks to him directly. Now, it is interesting. In Yecheskel, in Perek Aleph, Yecheskel is answered by HaKadosh Baruch Hu from the storm. The idea is that really, when a Navi advances, you get to the point where HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaks to you out of silence, where there's sort of like a silence and there's quiet. You get to speak to HaKadosh Baruch Hu almost directly. When you're starting your Nevuah, it seems like a storm. It just comes upon you and it's just like, oh my gosh, I can't believe that's there. It was like this huge, huge thing that came all together. By Eliyahu HaNavi, who was a very, very high up Navi, he received his Nevuah in a kol demama daka, in a little silence, a thin voice that appeared to him. But when you're not there yet, and Eov certainly wasn't there yet, it was a loud rash, like a storm, like an ash, like something crazy in front of him. That's one thing that's mentioned over here.
Didn't God speak to Moshe?
I don't know how you describe it, because Moshe Rabbeinu was very different from everybody else. Certainly, later on, it was like Pel Pa Darbabo. It was just like a regular guy speaking to somebody else. But you'd assume the boiling, burning bush in some way could compare to what this Sa'ara was, the way that he started off over here. That's the idea. Others say that this is more of a, like, Eov yelled at HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, like, what's this storm that you're sending against me? So Hashem answered him back from the storm. You think I'm a storm? Then I'm a storm. Right? Whatever you want me to be, that's what I'm going to be for you, and that's that. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu's message is clear. It's that this Sa'ara, you felt that everything was just a violent form of nature, that there was no God behind it. It was just, you know, the same way that a storm destroys everything in its path. So do I destroy everything in its path? And it wasn't directed at you. You just happened to be in the way. Says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, no. You were 100% directed at. You're going to see some truths, and just like you've just realized now, you're going to see some truths that come out from over here. That's the idea behind it. Others say, there's a medrash that says, the word sa'ara over here is not referring to a storm, but rather is referring to sa'ira, as in a hair. Kadosh Baruch Hu said, do you know how much detail I put into every hair on a human head? Right? Every hair comes out from a different, every follicle is from a different way. So the funny thing is, it's not spelled at all. Mem, nun, hey, samach, ayin, resh, hey, is all one word. So it's a weird word in and of itself, the fact that it's all in one word more than anything else. But his line over here is that really it's a reference to sa'ara and mana sa'ara. Count the hairs on your head. Do you realize that every hair comes from a different follicle? Kadosh Baruch Hu is, so to speak, saying that if they were all in the same place, you'd be blinded, you'd be darkened. There wouldn't be a way to be able to see that, that every hair has its own special place over here. Don't you realize that? Look what I'm able to do. So now look what he says. He says, Mi ze machshech eitza b'milim b'lidas. Who is the man that goes ahead and darkens eitza that people give him with words that make no sense at all? You have frustrated, Eov, my entire plan for you. We've said it already before. Eov had a plan here. The plan was for him to become another Av. Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov, Elokei Eov. Eov was going to be that fourth Av. Eov was going to be the awesome guy with everything if he would have passed the test. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, you frustrated the plan. You know why you frustrated the plan? With your silly words. Who is this guy who's machshech the eitza with all these things? Yes, at the end of the day, Eov, you're still a great man. Yes, Eov, you got a lot of great things in this world, but you have no lasting legacy. You are no Avram Avinu. You're the one who didn't pass the test
itself.
Well, he
does have a legacy.
A legacy of the Sefer.
Yeah.
Right.
A lot more than the other people.
Yeah, that is true. But it's not an Avram Avinu. No children. No, religion based on what he has over here. But this is sort of like, you got to picture this, and especially this chapter, is sort of like a behind-the-scenes, you know, tour of the factory. Like, come out of you. I'm going to go show you what we got back here. I want to show you like how much awesome things we're going to have over here. It's like you're a nervous passenger on a plane. Let's get this plane off the tarmac and let's show you how this really works. Ezor na ki gever chalatzecha, I want you to gird your loins with me. Vesh olcho v'yodini, I'm going to ask you questions. I want you to tell me the answers. And if you can answer me, then dude, you are the greatest in the world. And if not, then you're going to stay quiet. Epo ha'yisob yasteros, where were you when I founded the earth? When I made the foundations of the earth. Hagid, tell me, im yadata, if you have the ability to know bina, some type of understanding. Do you have any idea how that happened in the first place? No, of course not. There's no way you can know how I created the world and how I made everything the way it is. Misam mimadeha. Who is the one who established all of its measurements? Ki seida, that you would know. Ominato lakav. Who's the one that drew a line upon the earth? Sort of like, you know, how like they do buildings and stuff like that. They make a line so that everything is even. Who's the one that did that over here? Was it you? Amadina hotba'u. Right, so we say, on what are the bases, that's the Adon, right? Hotba, what are they sunk upon? Do you know what's underneath the earth? Like, let's go beyond the geological formation of our land, you know, that's right over here. What's underneath? What's in the core? Have you ever been to the core? Do you know what's in the core over there? Omi Yara Evan Pinasa, I guess that could also refer to. Do you know how gravity works? Do you realize how gravity works on the earth? How I made the earth with a core that has such a tremendous, tremendous weight inside it that it makes it as if everything goes down? Do you understand how that works? O mi yara evan pinasa, were you there when I laid the cornerstones of the earth, when I put down the ground on top of the certain areas, allowing it to be that way? Beron yachad, bekoch veboker, when the morning stars sang together, we have no idea what that means, but the morning stars got together to sing be'ariu kol b'nei Elohim, and all the malachim were singing and dancing and whatever it is, jubilant over all the great things that was happening. Vayosach b'lil asayim yom, he enclosed the oceans with doors. Begicho merechem yetze, and made it, so to speak, and moved as it moved, and it left its mother's womb. Now, we don't know what this means exactly, but we understand the following. There are tohomos. These are the depths of the earth itself. The oceans that we have are made up of the waters from the depths. Whether those waters from the depth come from places like the Mariana Trench, whether they come from other areas that are more volcanic in origin, whether it comes from other areas, right? But the water, for the most part, is coming from the bottom of the earth and going down, going up from that bottom of the earth itself. What he's saying over here is, I made them doors. What are the doors? The river, the waters of the ocean can go here and no further. It can't go onto the dry land. It can't affect the land that it's on. So who's the one? Were you the one who did that for me? Obviously being a little bit sarcastic over here. He says, Bisumi analavusho, when I made the cloud as my garment, va'arafel chasulaso, and the darkness, its swaddling cloth, its diaper, to be able to help it. Va'ashbor alav chukai, and I made all the laws, the limits, I guess, that you could say upon it. Va'asim b'riach udil simon, I made locks and doors for everything. Va'omar, at Posavo, and I said to the oceans, you're going to come until here. You're not going to go any further, right? Below Sotif, it's not going to go any further than that. And here's where your waves are going to cease. And it's really cool. We've talked about this before, but the concept of how waves stop, that when the water goes like that, when it's a smooth or when it's rocky, it's the coolest thing when you put the water. It's one of the biggest, best things that I've seen in the Museum of Science and Industry is when they have this little thing where you can make waves, and you see what happens when it breaks. When the waves break, you have a certain amount of power because the water goes like that. And then when it breaks it up and it's only going like that, the water just falls almost completely. There's no way for the water to get there. The only thing that tsunami can do is raise the levels of the water so that it comes upon the earth. But there's no way for it to crash further. There's no way for it to do it. It's a really, really cool thing. It says, Hamiyamecha tzivisa boker. In your lifetime, have you ever commanded the boker, the morning, to begin? So it says, Yidato ashachar mikomo. Have you informed the dawn where it should take place, where the sun should come up, and why it should be the way, and why in those specific places? Lechos bekampos oris, to grab onto the corners of the earth. Now, I realize that the earth is not corners, literally, but it's referring to the known earth at the time, Africa, Europe, Asia, etc., where there were corners of those lands, right? Turning around or grabbing onto those, vino aru rishayim mimena, and shaking the evil people out of it, so to speak, referring to somebody like, almost like shaking a guy out of his sleep, like the sun doesn't want to come up one day, and you're like, come on, wake up, go, it's time to go. You ever done that? That's an interesting ayin, by the way. If you see the ayin in that pasuk,
yeah,
leaning up to the top, I guess that's referring to Rishayim, is referring to the ayin nations, the 70 nations. Tisapik kachomer chosam, it turns like clay under a seal itself, right? The way I guess it says, it's like there's different seals. Every morning is totally different. Yisatu kama levush, and they stand as if holding a levush. Their garment there, v'yimana mirishayim oram. And they withhold the light of the wicked itself, Uzuel Ramati Shaver, and they break down the arms of the high, you know, the high mighty arm that's up there. Have also ad nivche yom. Have you come to the the depths of the Sietzel V'cheker to Homi Zalachta. Have you gone all the way down to where the depths go through? Obviously, the unexplored depths of the earth. I mean, they say that we've explored less of the oceans than we have about in space, because there's so much to see and so much to do. We have not been through all the different areas around there. Ha'niglu l'cha sharim mavis. Have the gates of death been revealed to you? Have you ever been to Gehenna? Or what happens when a person dies? Ha'shari tzal mavis tireh. Have you seen the gates of the shadow of death as well? Do you realize what's going to be over here? What's going to happen when all this happens? Now, again, this could also refer to Mashiach, Gog, Magog. Do you realize how the world is going to end, so to speak? Have you contemplated the width of the earth itself? How wide the earth is? Tell me if you think you know it all. Which is the road where the light dwells? How are you going to find the light? Where is the choshech exactly? Where does the darkness go? Do you know exactly where it's going to be at any time? When you take it over to its boundary, and you claim to understand the paths of his house and all the different ways where it goes. Yadata, you should know. For you were born then, right? This is, again, sarcastic. Right? You would know. You were born then, right? The number of your days is very great. You're really, really, you know, you're an old person over here, right? Of course you know this. You're a very old man, aren't you? What are you, 70? Habasal otzos shalik. Have you been to the storage houses where the snow is? Do you see where barad comes from and how snow and hail forms itself? I have withheld them, right, for times when they're needed, times of trouble. Leon Kurova Muhammad, for a day of battle and war. Anybody know what that refers to? The day of battle and war when I sent down the Barad?
When Yeshua died.
Very good. Very good against the, against the other nations. I forgot what they were. Right, when they were fighting, and they wanted to extend the time of the war so they could fight everybody that was there with Ho-Hum. That was the king
Rashi
and all the people out there. Yeah?
Leon Kurov is Gog Magog.
Yeah, that's one.
Oh.
The second time is that Barad is eventually going to come down again in the times of Gog and Magog, but for sure it's during that time. I'm holding them back for the days of war. Eza derech yecha, like four. Where is this place? Where is this place, I'm saying over here, that disperses the light, that gives over the light? Yofetz kadim alei aretz, that spreads the east wind upon the earth itself. Mi pilag l'shetef, who carved out that channel to ale of the pool, right, v'derech l'chaziz kolos, and a road for the thunder and lightning that has to be out there. Who did that? Who did that? Was that you? You know how the thunder and lightning goes? He goes on a little bit about thunder and lightning and tries to explain it. It's amazing stuff. L'hamtel eretz lo'ish. Why is there rain that falls down in land that is not inhabited by a person? Why would that be so? Why do I do that? Yes, Ziv. What's the point? If a train falls in the forest, if a tree falls in the forest and no one's around, does it make a sound? The answer is, heck yeah, because there's no such thing as no one around. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is around. So the answer is absolutely yes, because for some reason it has to be this way, and I learn it from right over here. The answer to the age-old question is in Iyuv Perek Lamed Ches Pasuk Chav Vav. Lam Ta'aretz Lo'ish. I give rain upon land that doesn't have any man. Midbor Lo'adam Bo, upon deserts where there is no man there and nobody's around. Why do I do that? What's the point? Because there's something that needs to happen there. Las Biyasho, it's such a... You hear that question, right? What does it mean? Like when a person is, what's it called? If no one's around, right, to hear it, does it make a sound? That you are such a Baal Gaiva, you think if you're not there, the world shouldn't exist. Look at you, Mr. Baal Gaiva. Well, if I'm not there, then what's the point? It's not just me, it's any person. If we're not there, there's no point. Who are you, little loser? There's a bug that needs it. A bug needs the tree to fall. The bug will hear it fall. That's good enough. Okay, and he says, Laspia Shoah. I want to satisfy the wastelands of Meshoah, right, in the areas that are completely gone. Ulatzmiach Mitzo Dashan, and I want to sprout out herbs and grasses. Is there a father for that rain? Omi Olid Agletal, who do you think gave birth to those things of drop, the drops of dew? Mi Betmi Yatza Akarach, does ice come from the wound? Ukfor Shamayim Yelado, the frost in the heavens. Who caused that? Why is there so much cold all the way up in the air, you know, before, above the atmosphere? Ke'evin Mayim Yiskabo, like a stone, the waters are hidden. The face of the deep is completely locked in, trapped. He's kasher ma'adanos kima. Can you tie the chains of kima together? Now, we talked about this before, this Pleiades, the, you know, some type of constellation, Taurus in the sky, in the northern sky, right? Are you going to be able to take over what kima does in the sky? O moshkos ksil tvatech, are you going to open, loosen the chains of ksil? Ksil is known as Orion. Are you going to be able to deal with all these out there? Hasotzi mazoros bito. Will you bring out the planets, each one in its proper time, when Mars is supposed to be in Jupiter and Saturn, when they're supposed to be in the world, the Ayish, and Ayish, which is the Great Bear, possibly the Big Dipper, Ursa Major, right? Are you going to bring those out? The Ayish al-Banat and Achein, will you be able to comfort it when it's wondering about its children, whatever that means when it comes to stars? Do you know the laws of the heavens? Do you apply its rules upon the earth itself? Can you raise your voice to the clouds to allow the water to cover you up? In other words, we've heard of rain dances before, right? Do you have any ability to just call out to the clouds and be like, down, no? Like, do you have the ability to do that? The ability to dive into HaKadosh Baruch Hu to make it rain. Couldn't make it rain.
He ordered it around.
There's some people who are able to make it rain, right? But not everybody's able to make it rain, rain.
What do you know about that?
I don't. I actually don't. Hashalach Barakim. Are you going to be able to send forth lightning and let it go and say to you, we're here. What do you need us to do? Lightning is right here. Mishas Patuchos Chachma. Who puts wisdom inside the faculties of man? Who gives the rooster the understanding of your brain or your heart, the understanding to be able to do what it needs to do? You're sitting there like, well, I'm smart enough. You know who put that wisdom inside there? Who made you so smart from the womb itself? Who could, I guess, take the heavens and put it with wisdom and put out the wisdom there and turn over the navel shamayim, the flasks of the heavens so that the water comes down. Kneading dust into clay, and making clods together, clods of dirt and mud together to be able to get everything you need. Are you going to provide the lion Taref with all the prey that it needs? The chayas kefir into my lair. Are you going to fill up the young lions with everything they need? That's another thing that we don't think about. We're thinking about like all the human beings that HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes care of. What about every single one of the billions of animals out there? The billions of animals that exist in the world. What would you do with all those? How are you going to feed all of them? Are you going to? Ki ashok ma'onos, he says, who are crouched, sitting in their dens, yeshebu basukah l'moarev, they sit in their hut, lying in wait. Miyokin l'orev tedo, who prepares the prey for the raven itself, ki yeladov, el yeshebeh, when their children call out to God, yis'u l'vli ochel, they wander off a lack of food. I don't know what this refers to. There is no raven that's cruel to its children. We know that we have livneo rev asher yikro, the bneo rev asher yikro, they call out loud, but there is no such thing as a raven or a crow that is cruel to its children. In fact, we know ravens and crows are extremely smart creatures. They wouldn't do that to their kids. So what does this mean exactly? We honestly don't know. We have absolutely no idea what it refers to over here, what it refers to, how it's referring to over here. But either way, regardless, right, when it comes to this darkness, so to speak, that we're sitting in, what's going to happen with all the way over here? So it says, Yisrael v'Yochel, then when they're sitting there without absolutely anything at all, what's going to be? So that's the end of Parak Manachas. He missed the entire Parak Manachas.
What was that? Time my sister's
heart. I'm sorry.
Where is it? Which system?
Skokie.
It's Skokie? It's a red-tailed hawk. Yeah. Tell us. They release them into the wild because they get rid of squirrels and sometimes skunks. Usually not skunks, though. The eagles that are here. The owls that are here. The great horned owls they release. So they take care of the skunks. God says you don't know anything. That's it. Lamentas. Hayadata is led as Yali Sola Cholel Ayels Tishmor. Now, here is again a form of nature that we do not fully understand. Do you understand the birth pangs of the rams of the rock? Most likely this refers to ibex, because that was the animal that they knew at the time, that were around there, the ibex of the rocks that still live in Eretz Yisrael. There are still ibex. It's a big ram-like creature that lives in Eretz Yisrael. Cholel ayalos tishmor, or checking out the birthplace of the ayol. The ayol is a deer. I know you all think that a tzvi is a deer. That's because you're fools. Tzvi is not a deer. A deer is a gazelle. An ayola is a deer. It's a different creature altogether, but the tzvi itself is a gazelle. Very, very slender is what it's supposed to be over here. Regardless, the craziest thing in the world, the Medrash tells us that the Yali Sela, what ends up happening is it doesn't want to deal with its children. So it goes to the top of a rock, and it gives birth from the top of the rock, and the child should fall down onto the cliff below, from the cliff below, and just die. That's what it should happen over there. And an eagle comes, catches the little, you know, ram, and then brings it back up
is
to its
like
mother.
A medrash?
It's a medrash, and it's very—I mean, it's a Gemara. It's a very, very strange Gemara. But the concept is that a Kodesh Baruch Hu takes care of every animal and needs it. The Ayala, the female deer, has a very, very narrow womb. It is literally impossible for it to give birth. It would die out of pain because of how narrow its womb is. It's impossible for it to be able to give birth. So how does it give birth? Right before it gives birth, it's lying down on the ground. A snake comes, bites it with its poison, puts a little bit of, anesthesia in that area, and therefore it's able to give birth because of that anesthetic that the snake puts it in that area right there at that time. Did you know that at Kodesh Baruch Hu? No, first of all, I didn't know that.
Eeyub.
What? He's saying to Eeyub. Yeah, he's saying to Eeyub. He's like, did you know that?
They do that for women also today.
Well, obviously, yeah. Not exactly, but whatever.
Same thing. I mean, yeah. Whatever. Where do you think they got the idea from?
They take a random snake and bite it. No, I don't think they got the idea from this Gemara. I definitely don't think. They were like looking at this Gemara and saying, hey, great idea. No, I think they figured it out on their own. This is a very strange, both of them are very strange Gemaras. I am sure there's something behind it. I just don't know what it is. So it says, Tispo, you walk into my land. Do you count the months that they have completed for their pregnancy? Yadata isli detana. And you know exactly when they're going to give birth. Tichrani aldei and tifalachna. They crouch down and the younger separated chavlein. And then their labor pains are all of a sudden sent away. Their children become strong. They grow in the open spaces. Right? They leave. They don't return to the parents. Yeah? Who helped take care of those little kids while that was happening? Sure. Oh, no. The instincts of the animal made sure that they would stay in the little grass. There is nothing more vulnerable than a tiny little deer. And you know what happens when a predator comes near a deer that just gave birth? You know what happens? What happens? It's obvious. The mother runs away and leaves the kid to die.
Yep.
Happens every time. So why doesn't the predator? The predator should know these types of things and go straight to the mother, find a mother that's pregnant, just watch the fat one, right? Just be like, okay, I'm following you.
It's not stereotype, okay? It's not stereotype.
They're stereotyping. The animals are stereotyping. I don't need to. Why wouldn't they do that? Yeah.
Actually, I saw a video of a real thing. There was it must have been a baby wildebeest or something.
New.
That was left. That's what it's called.
Gnu? Wildebeest is called a gnu.
Oh.
GNU.
It's
go ahead.
Another name for it. Yeah. Or it's a baby. Over.
Same thing.
Oh, okay, cool. Fine. So
they're actually called calves.
So this lioness, huge, like regular lioness, comes, grabs the wildebeest, and you think it's gonna eat it. It's a tiny wildebeest, but it just like chills with it.
Like playing with his food beforehand.
Yeah, it's just protecting. No, not like playing with his food beforehand. Like he lets it live.
That's a dumb line. It's probably going to die then. That's the likelihood.
I don't know, maybe that or maybe
Yeah, yeah, protecting. No, that lion decided grass. I'm up for grass. Yeah, that lion, the lioness, was Eliyahu HaNavi. Possible.
That's what it was.
So it says over here, Mishilach Para Chofshi, who frees the para, in other words, the wild donkeys over there, Mosros Aroyd Mipitech, who takes out the ropes of the Arod and allows it to go over there and stuff like that. In other words, the para and Arod, they're both different types of wild horses and whatever it is. Who's able to you know, to send them free. Shasamti al-Rav HaBeis, I made the wilderness its house, Mishkanos HaMalecha, and all of their areas are considered, you know, I guess, salt flats. I don't know about this. I find it really unbelievably strange that nowhere in all of Tanakh we mention a zebra. That was an animal that I assumed they would have seen all the time. And it was a very, very classic animal that looks awesome. Why in the world? They live in Africa.
Fine,
but there's
like,
no question Egypt had zebras. They 100% had zebras. So how in the world did the people in Eretz Yisrael not see it? I'm sure they had in Eretz Yisrael as well. Now, they couldn't domesticate them. There's a problem with domesticating zebras. But if anything, I would think one of these words, either para or a road, is referring to that. A road refers to a wild donkey. One of these words is referring to a zebra. I don't know what it is, but it for sure is. There's no way you can go the entire Tanakh without mentioning a zebra, which is such an obvious creature that they all would have had access to. I just don't get it. I really don't get it in that way.
Well, who says they lived then? Maybe they...
No, for sure they did. They have proof that zebras lived in zoos in Egypt when the Jews were in Egypt. They have them. There's no question whatsoever. So I don't get it at all. Yitzchak v'Hamon Kiryah, they laugh at the multitudes in the city. These are the wild animals that are out there in the fields.
Teshuos nogeis lo yishma.
They don't hear the calls of the driver itself. This better be a good answer.
In order to refute anyone saying that the Torah is written by a person, because it's obvious a person would have written it. Why?
What do you mean it's obvious? The
same way that we say that there's certain things
doesn't
that
prove either one.
Absolute.
What if it would have written zebras? I would have been like, oh, human being wrote it.
No, but if there is none, then it must mean that it's not. A human being would have written it.
That's a terrible proof. You have to learn more Gemara.
No, a human being would have put in a zebra. Why?
Toshma.
Because it's obvious.
Not even a toshma.
Historically, we know.
Not using that as a toshma. Oh. I mean, yeah, we're booing that
one. Eddie boos it.
Right, yeah, Eddie booed it. Eddie booed it. Yisur Harim, right? The extra, that Yisur Harim Mirehu. He searches around the mountains for his fodder. It's so funny. Like, so many people. I don't know about you. I would have done this. I'd choose a city over anywhere else. Like, living out in the middle of the country. I like being where a jewel is a block away from me, or there's something's right down the block from me, you know? But some people, Yisur Harim Mirehu, these donkeys, these wild donkeys, they like being out in the fields. I call you Roki Drosh. They go wherever they want to go for any green whatever. Hayova Reim Avdecha. Hey, would the Re'im want to serve you? Now, what's the Re'im? Big cash over here. Maybe it's an aurox. Maybe it's this huge, huge water buffalo. Maybe it's a reference to a rhinoceros. That's a possibility as well.
Or a unicorn.
A big rhinoceros. The Re'im is translated as a unicorn. Now, if it's a rhinoceros that had one horn, there was such a thing as a woolly rhino. A woolly rhino had only one horn and was around these areas, a little bit up north, but they would have had in that area. It was one-horned, right, you know, on its nose, not exactly in the middle of its forehead. It did have hair all over, and it was in that area, and it was a huge creature, a massive, massive creature, as big as the black and white rhinos that now live in Africa.
That sounds very familiar. I think it is a rhino.
Well, it's not translated anywhere, because obviously we don't have a right translation. Rabbi Slifkin, in his book, has a bunch of different translations. I think most likely would be that we're referring to a type of this, you know, this type of rhinoceros type of thing. But Talam Avoso, could I take short? So it says over here, Im Yolin Alavusecha, do you think you'd be able to take the rhinoceros and put it by your trough and let it feed out of your trough? Hasiksho rein betelem avoso. Do you think you could tie up the rhinoceros with all of these ropes? Im yeshadra amakim acharecha. Do you think it's going to go after you to the valleys to plow the fields for you? Siftepo ki rav kocho. Would you be assured in it? Would you be like, oh, I trust my rhinoceros because it's so strong? Mesazavolav yigiecha. Right? Would you leave all of your work for him? Hasamimbo. Do you really believe him or trust him? Ki yashiv zarecha. That he's going to bring home your seeds. That could be your children as well.
Because it has a horn?
No. It could be. It very well could be.
It's just a huge creature.
So, do you think it's going to gather in your storage? It's going to do everything you expect it to do. The joyful singing bird. Oh, wait. So, that's that very quickly. So, that was the Re'im over here. Now, the point by the Re'im, and obviously the remez that he's trying to gather over here, is referring to a person who loves the wild instead of the calm person who's sitting around. This wild person, the wild guy is all out there. Do you think he is going to be reined in? Do you think you're going to be able to take him in Asa? He's got to live in the field. You can't do stuff like that to him. You think you're in control? Oh, if you put him under my wing, I'll take care of him. No, you have to let him be wild. You have to let him do what he needs to do. Now we go into the bird. You have a joyful singing bird, right? Im evra chasidah v'notza. Perhaps the chasidah is like a stork. I don't know exactly what the chasidah is. Notza, another type of bird over here. Some other type of bird, maybe something else over here. Maybe this is referring to an ostrich, right? Ki sazel v'aretz beitzah, when it puts its eggs on the ground, and it incubates them on the dust itself. Now there are birds that do that. Storks definitely do that. Ostriches definitely do that. But tishkach, ki regels tizurel. They forget that the feet can pulverize it. Of all the different animals that are out there, ostriches are some of the dumbest creatures in the world. Literally, their brain is the size of your nose. And we have got Jewish noses, so it's a little bit bigger. But their brain is literally the size of our nose. They are the dumbest creatures of all time. They just sit there. They lay their eggs wherever they want to, not in a special place, right? And at the end of the day, there's giraffes there. There's elephants there. There's rhinos there. There's wildebeest there. There's all these animals of Africa right there that could all crush it. Kshiach banel, right? She abandons her children, lo la, for something not hers. Lariki gia, she toiled for it for naught. Believe Fachad, and wasn't afraid of anything. Ki Yisha Eloah Chachma, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu has made her forget all of her wisdom. V'lochalak lo babina, didn't give her any real understanding. Ke'is b'mrom tamri. So just in time, she flies up to the heights. Tishak lo susul ropo, she laughs at the horse and the rider itself. Right over here. So that's that. It's idea of flying up over here. Now, obviously, it's referring to an ostrich over here. There's no flying, because an ostrich can't fly. An ostrich is a little bit too heavy when it comes to it. I think it just means like it rebels. It could be that it flew away, meaning it flew, it ran away as much as it can, right?
It was jumping, you know?
Yeah, it is extremely quick. The ostrich is extremely quick. They can run 45 miles an hour.
Maybe it was an emu.
For well over a couple places. It could be an emu or a cassowary, a rhea. It could be any of these guys, right? All those things out there. Anyway, they laugh at the horse because a horse, at best, can ride 30 to 35 miles an hour. With a rider on, maybe 25 miles an hour. But the ostrich flies, absolutely flies.
For longer.
Then it says, Hasizno Sus Kabura, did you give the horse its power, as in horsepower? Hasalbish Tavaro Rama, did you clothe its neck with fierceness? Hasari Shenu Ka'arbe, did you cause it to jump like locusts? Hod Nachro Ema, with majestic snorting that goes through in the middle of war, have you been able to do such a thing? Yachbru Ba'emek, they go down into the valley. Yasis Bekoach, it rejoices in its own strength. Yetzel Kras Noshak, and it goes out to battle and war. Gemara Pesachim, I think it's Kufyat Beis, says that the horse tells its children, everybody, you love war. War is the best thing for it. Yischak lefakad, it laughs at fear. Lo yechatz, it's never trembling. Lo yashem minei harve, never turns away because of the sword. Olav tirne ashpa, upon him, the quiver sings. They try their hardest to knock down the horse. Lav chanis v'chidon, the flame of the sword and the spear. Barash roi gezi gama aretz, right, with noise and excitement, he digs into the ground. Lo yamin kikol shofar, he can't be held still at the sound of the trumpet. He's ready to go, raring to go, this little horse over here. Bidei shofar, when all the shofars are blowing. Yomar, he goes around and he says, ha'och, let's go. From far away, he smells war. Ram Sarimus Rua. The trumpeting, the officers shouting, everything that's going on. I mean, from your understanding, is that why the eagle's able to fly, the hawks, the falcons that are able to go through Kanaf of Lisemon with its wings toward the south? The most amazing thing about some of these birds is their ability, like a tern, for example. There's a type of bird, a tern, T-E-R-N, that does not go down. It can stay up in the air for over 10 years straight. It sleeps in the air, it eats in the air, it drinks while still flying. It even is together with its mate in the air. It is the most unbelievable thing in the world. What?
It's like a shark.
Almost like a shark, right? Keeps moving. It is an impossibility. It is the most unreal thing in the world. They did a test with some of them going through. Yeah, check it out. T-E-R-N.
They're seabirds.
Of course, but they go through, they're the most unbelievable, and all they do is fly from one end of the world to the other, fly from one end. They migrate all year long. They spend like a day somewhere sometimes, but they'll go all year long from one place to the other, riding the currents. Did you realize that? Is the nesher, the eagle, possibly a vulture, does that go all the way high because of you, hearing Kino, how high he puts up his nest? Right? That, do you realize how high the eagle goes up there? Seli Yishkon, he sits upon the rocks, the Yisrael Nun, and he finds his comfort there. Al Shen Selo Mutsudo, upon the teeth of a rock and all the areas around him. Yisham Chafar Ocho, from there he digs for its food. The Merachol Kein of Yabitu, he's able to see from far away. We know that the eyesight of these eagles and falcons are extremely strong. That Broch of Ya'aludam, and its chicks, they swallow blood. What it does is it regurgitates and it puts it right down into its chicks. Wherever there are slain ones, that's where it goes. Are you like that? Do you realize the eagle, the vulture, and everything like that? The wisdom to migrate, you know, they still have absolutely no idea why these birds migrate, what makes them decide where to go, why they go back to the exact same spot every year. Their brains are this big, and yet they know exactly where to go.
Magnetic fields.
Okay, that's amazing. What kind of GPS system works by magnetic fields nowadays? None of ours. Nothing. We have no idea how this works. We cannot figure it out. But they're able to figure it out with brains the size of my nose. It's the most unreal thing in the world.
Keep knocking these birds, man.
I'm telling you, they're so dumb. They're absolutely dumb. It's also really cool. You see these hawks and these eagles, like that hawk over there. You know how much that hawk weighed? That one that you just showed me?
10 pounds.
Not even. Miles. It's about 7 pounds. 16,000 miles, right? The turn.
This one turn.
Stop looking. We've got Eov over here. You can look him up later. You can look him up later. It's the most amazing thing in the world. Mayan Hashem Eov Vayomar. So again, Hashem spoke to Eov. This is in Perek Mem. And he said the following. Harayv im Shaddai Yisor. Are you really going to contend? Are you going to fight with Shaddai, with me, the one who does everything in the world? Meichiach Elo Ya'anena. Right? You're gonna criticize HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you think you're going to answer back, right? Is there anything you have to say to me in light of everything out here, right? What are you going to say? V'yan Iyuv HaShem V'yomar. So Iyuv answered back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he said, Hein Kalosi, you know, I feel like a piece of garbage. I feel light as a feather. I feel like I have nothing. Ma'ashi Veko, what am I supposed to answer you? Yadi Samti Lamofi, I put my hand over my mouth. Truth is, this is exactly what Iyuv wanted. Iyuv said the entire time, if only God would speak to me, right? God did speak to him. He didn't tell him what he wanted to know. He said, give me an answer. Why is this happening to me? But he did speak to him, and he's like, you know, now I feel like a piece of garbage. Achzibarti, below an I've spoken once, I'm never going to speak again. He said, my argument is completely over, he says. Shtayim below Osif. A second time I'm not going to add, I'm not going to do anything stupid again. Vayan Hashem is Iyuv. Min Sa'ara. Hashem spoke to Iyuv out of that storm again. Vayomar, and he said the following, I want you to gird yourself like again, like a strong man. I'm going to ask you another question, you're going to tell me. Haftafir Mishpati. Are you going to destroy my judgment? Tarish Harshi'enu L'matitzach. You want to make me into a Rasha so that you look like a tzaddik? You're going to say that I was wrong, you were right? Is that really what you want to do? Im zroa ka'eloch. If you had an arm like God's, and you could thunder with your voice like he does, what would you do that with system? You think you have a way to override my justice? You think there's a better thing to do over here? Something that's fairer? Okay, tell me. Tell me what you would do. Remember, you've got to deal with everything. Every animal, every person, every single thing in the world. What are you going to do that's fair to every single creature? I don't mean just to one. To every single creature. You go out and you're like, oh, lion, you did such a good job today. I'm going to give you an extra sheep for your lunch. The lamb is like, dude, what did I do wrong? What did I do wrong? What did I do? Somebody ends up getting really good in business. How is it possible that everybody ends up getting richer and richer and richer in business? How is that possible with everything happening? How can you redo this system of justice where everybody's perfect the way that you want it? What was that book that Ravari Kaplan wrote? If you were God, dot, dot, dot. Right? What would you do? What would be your answer? What would you do if it went through everything over here? You had everything. What would you do? It says, Ade Naga'in. Now, I want you to adorn yourself with righteousness. Adorn yourself with this type of greatness. The Gaboah and so high upon everything. You're going to adorn yourself with majesty and beauty to be God. Hafetz Evros Apecha. Scatter about the fury of your anger. See every arrogant person and lower him. In other words, you're God now, right? You're going to see all these people going up against you and say, you're nothing, God. I know everything. What are you going to do? Are you going to lower him? Are you going to answer him back? Are you going to say something? Every time a guy's like, I don't really believe in. Can you imagine these teenagers? Like one time, I don't believe there's a God. Turns off the light on Shabbos. If there really was a God, let him punish me. So you can imagine if every time a teenager did that, he'd be punished. He'd be like, oh, no, I believe in God. 7 minutes later, he's like, I don't believe in God again. There's no way you're going to continue to believe in God just because one time you turned off a light and he punished you immediately. There's no way. That's not the way things go. Things don't happen that way. So what are you going to do? Are you going to do the Reikol Geach Neo? Are you going to knock down every Geah? Are you going to knock down all the Rishayim? A guy does evil. You want to immediately punish him? That's what you want to do? Tum them ba'afri. You want to stick them in the dirt? Yachad together. Panayim chavosh batamun. You're going to stick them down. You're going to be like, oh yeah, you like that? Take that a little bit more. V'gamani odeka. And you know, I'll admit to you. Right? If your right hand is your salvation, if you really think it's going to be better than me, then you know what? I will 100%. I wish I could kill all the Rishayim, says the Kaddish Baruch Hu. I wish I could do that. Oh, let's kill all the Rishayim like that? I wish. But there's Midas HaRachamim here. There's no way. Ironically, if you think you could do a better job, I guarantee you couldn't. Because if you did that, then every person who sinned immediately goes out from the world, then dude, you'd have nothing. Because Adam and Chava are dead 2 hours after this world started. And that's it. Everybody's gone. If you ran the world the way you want to run it, Eov, everyone's gone. There is no world. There's no human beings. Nothing would exist inside this world. Here's the animals. Remember, there's certain animals that have to eat certain things, right? They eat animals. Now, the behemos is referring to a certain animal here called the behemoth. What is it referring to? Possibly a giant hippo.
Behemoth.
Real, like the behemos Bahari Aleph. Those behemos over there. Most likely it's referring to a hippo over here. Now look at what it says over here. He named up a koach masnav. It's got koach. It's got kocho. It's got its strength in its loins. But ona b'shuri bit no. And it's got these, what is it? It's muscles, right? In the belly itself. Yachbot z'navo kmo orez. It stiffens its tails like a cedar, right? Like a cedar tree. Gide pachadov yisoragu. The sinews of that area of its body are tightly wound together. Atzom v'afikin echusha. Its bone are as strong as chunks of copper. Grum of kimtil barza. Right, all of its bones are as hard as the iron itself. Who reishis darcheil? This is the beginning of the ways of God. Osa yagesh harbo. The person who made him, only God can approach him with His sword to be able to kill it. Kibul arim, because all of the yavul, the produce of all the mountains, yisulo, you could carry it to him, right? In order for it to eat, v'chol chayis asari yischaku sham. all the animals of the field would play in front of it itself, tachas salim, right? Underneath the shade trees, Yishkov, that's where it lies, b'seser kaneu vitzo, in the hidden areas of the reeds and the swamps, right? Because that is what a hippo does. It hides underneath everything. Yisukeo tza'alim, the shade trees cover it up. It's all low with its shade. Yisubu arvinochal, and the reeds and the swamp, they surround him. Hin yashok nar le'achboz. He suppresses the river. It doesn't go through. You should know that he could draw the Jordan River into its mouth. That's how big it is. That could draw in all of the Jordan River into its mouth. Could you take him by the eyes? Do you think you could grab him by the nose and pull him with you? Right? Do you think you could do that? And now, would you be able to pull Liv Yassin with your fish hook? Do you think you'll be able to grab him with its tongue? Hasasim agmon da'apo. Do you think you could put a bent hook inside of him? And with this, I don't know, some type of ring, you'll be able to get into its cheek. Now this probably is a reference to a whale. Another huge creature. There's no way you're going to be able to get it. Hayarbe lechatachnunam. Right? Would he offer you many supplications? Like, please don't take me. I'm a whale. Right? Imti yedabre lecharakus is going to speak softly to you. Hayachros brisimach is going to make a bris with you. Tikhanu levet oilom. That you should take him with as a slave forever. Hasachik boketipur. Do you think you're going to play with the whale like a bird? Sik shirenu la narosecha. And could you tie him up for your children to be able to play with? Yichru lev chabarim. Right? The wise men would try to make a net to people because they'll try to do anything they can over here. The magicians, the wise men, whatever it is, banking out in between everybody else around there. Do you think you could divide them up among the merchants over there? Among all the other fish and whatever it is you could use as a container? Right? Similar of kapecha. Put your hand upon it. Right? You will no longer remember battle because, dude, if you touch this guy, you'll die. Because back then there was no way to be able to catch a whale. The Re'im, how awesome he is. The whale, how awesome he is. There is no way you're going to be able to go. What, you think you're going to make a shaded fish tank and you'll put your fish tank up there and it'll go inside there and everything's going to be there? Come on. It's going to overwhelm you like that. You won't be able to do anything. There is literally nothing you can do to be able to help yourself when it comes to stuff like this. Absolutely nothing you can do. So it says in Pasuk Aleph, Perek Malav, Pasuk Aleph, Hein Tochalta Nechzava, his hope is dashed. Right? Hagam el marav yutol. And even the sight, as soon as you see the Lev Yassin, you'll never be able to go back again. Now, by the way, as a side note, why this is a new parak of Parak Mamalaf, I have absolutely no idea. This doesn't make any sense. It's really still talking about the Lev Yassin itself. Anyway, lo achzor ki urenu. There's no one cruel enough to provoke him. Who's going to be able to stand before me? If you're not willing to stand in front of the Lev Yassin, in front of a whale, how are you going to stand in front of me? Who is going to advance, who has advanced anything to me, that I should pay him back? Have you ever done anything for me that I should pay you back for? Underneath the entire heavens, everything is mine. I will not silently suffer all of these issues over here. All of his words of strength, and all of the things that he says, his presentation. Who has uncovered the face of his garment? Who would ever come to his doubled up harness over here? How is it possible over here to be able to make it over here? How could we allow such a thing to happen over here? So the line is like this. He says over here, I don't owe you anything whatsoever. If you did a bris milah to your kid, dude, I gave you the child. I gave you the ability to do a bris milah. I gave you knives. I did everything for you. You didn't do anything whatsoever. All the lies that you say over here, those who speak about the Holocaust with their, they say like, I understand how it happened, or they complain. They're like, I don't understand why God should have done such a thing. Whatever they claim, it's garbage. It's all in a Kadosh Baruch Hu's hands, and he decides what's going to be. Migla Pnei Levusho. Who's ever uncovered the face of his garment? The Chafol Riz Nomi Yavo. Who's come to his doubled up harness over here? Dalsi Avram Viteach. Who's been able to open up the doors of his face? Vivos Shina Veima. Around his teeth, there is unbelievable fear. Gav Afika Meginim. Right? The pride of the strength of the shield. Sagur Chayisam Tsar. Closed with a very tight seal. Echab Echad Yigashu. They come one by one. Ruach Lo Yavo Bineim. There's nowhere that can come between them. This is referring to the skin of the Lev Yassin. How tightly together it is wound. Now again, if we're now talking about a whale, we've got a problem. Our problem with the whale? There are no scales. Right. That's a big problem.
No, this isn't the blue whale.
So it's not a blue whale or any whale. No whale has...
that we know of, but neither is the behemoth.
No. So I'm saying, if the behemoth is referring to a hippo, right? Something that you would have known about. And the Leviathan is referring to a whale.
I understand,
but that would have been like an exaggeration. Like, they're huge. You can say that. Are there any whales in the Mediterranean? Whales can get there. Right. Yeah. They definitely could get there. You could have right whales or fin whales. It would be weird because the Mediterranean Ocean, Mediterranean Sea is a very, very warm sea. And usually whales need the cool air. But it depends on which type of whales. There would have been dolphins, porpoises, certainly, but not a whale. But this for sure is not referring to it because this is Echo Bechel Yigashu, that the scales are tightly wound together.
Well,
that's not even referring to a shark.
Yona. You really think that was in the ocean?
A whale or a whale shark? Yeah, I would have thought
that.
The Mediterranean. Oh, for sure. Yeah, no question. Right, but what it's going to be. So there's no question out there. Of course, that could have been a miracle also, right? But over here, this seems to now refer to some type of a creature. And if this is a creature, now we're starting to talk about something that seems to be a dragon. Ish b'achiu yudubaku, they stick to one another. Yislaktuv lo yisparadu, they are interlocked, they cannot be separated. Atish shosav tal, or whenever it sneezes, you see light. Right, some type of fire. The ain of Kathafe Shachar, its eyes are as brilliant as the morning light. There are flames that come from its mouth. Kidode Ashis Malatu. That's exactly what it is. Kapil, like sort of like a fire escaping from him. Nihir Vyata Ashan, from its nostrils comes smoke. Kidur Nafuach Vagmon, like a steaming kettle, like wastelands. Natural Gecholim Tlahate, its soul is almost like burned like coals. Velavim Pivyate, and a flame comes out from the mouth. There's strength that comes out from its neck, in all of grief, right? Before him, the grief rejoices. He's happy about what happens. Maple Bisaro Daveku, the layers of flesh are so attached. Yatukala Bayumot, they cannot be moved whatsoever. Liba Yatukamo Evan, its heart is surrounded as hard as a rock. And it's molded like a millstone out there. Miseso Yaguru Elim, the powerful are afraid of how great it is. Mishabar Mishato, the breakers, the people that try to break him, they reduce themselves. They know there is no chance they're going to be able to get. See, in J.R.R. Tolkien, right, the dragon had one weakness, that little area beneath, you know, where it's not surrounded by whatever it is. Scale was missing, right. Whoever it was, right. So they was able to go through. Masigehu, those who reach him, Cherev, Belisakum, those with a sword, they'll never be able to stand. Chanis Masav Ashiryah, whether it's a spear, a missile, or a harpoon, Yakshav L'Seven Barzel, iron is like straw to him. Even brass is like rotted wood. The arrow will not cause him to flee. All the stones of the sling turn into straw for him. The mortal rocks, mortar rocks, right, are considered like straw. They're considered like absolutely as nothing. The yischak l'rash kidon, and he laughs at the noise that the spear makes. Right, instead of it, right under him, there's plot shards, right, almost like whatever the things like plot shards. They're pottery that goes upon him. Charut alitit, when he lies down, there's an outline that goes into the mud. Yartia kasir mitzula, right, he causes the depths to boil. Yam yasim kimarkacha, he makes the oceans like a mixture. Achav yirnisiv, and then behind him, the path is lighted. Yakshav kitom tahom l'seva, the depths are considered like older. Ein al afar mashlo, there is nothing comparable to him upon the dust. Ha'asil livli chas, that is made knowing no fear. Es kol gavoy yireh, right? Everything that is high, he can see everything. Hu melech ol kol b'nei shachatz, he is the king over all of the proud and everything out there. There's nothing there. Catapults, javelins, cutting into the mud, boiling as in a kettle. He's furious. The wake behind him, everything that's there, it's absolutely crazy stuff. There is nothing that can scare this creature, the Leviathan itself. Now again, there is nothing like the blue whale. The blue whale is twice as large as the next biggest creature that has ever lived. Even the whales now, nothing compares to the blue whale. Loch Ness Monster is tiny in comparison. The blue whale is 100...
How do you know? Have you seen it?
It doesn't matter even if it was. The whole area is not big enough, even if it does exist. The blue whale, it might, you know, even if it's a what do they call it? A peleid. I forgot what it's called.
Plesiosaurus?
Plesiosaurus?
Plesiosaur.
That's right. Plesiosaur? Whatever it is. But the blue whale itself is 150 tons. The next biggest creature that ever lived is a right whale that weighs 80 tons. It's not even close. You're not even close to the size of a blue whale. Nothing compares. Nothing compares. And if the Leviathan is even bigger than that, it's the most unbelievable thing in the world. What are you supposed to do? How in the world are you supposed to do it? Now, what is this all referring to over here? So it's obvious that the illustrations of the behemoth and Leviathan are allegorical, says Schwab, right? But these two illustrations, Hashem is giving an eov into all of his creations, insight into his creations, both physical and spiritual. Now, no question, this is Sisrei Torah, and maybe there's more to it. The Ramban talks about it, the Rabag talks about it. But he says, based on Rav Hirsch in his selected writings, Rav Schwab says the following idea. He is giving him a description of the entire physical universe. There is matter and there is energy. The behemos represents all matter. the physical, material universe, the material aspects of life. That's why he grazes upon the mountains. The other animals play around him. Animals exist only for physical, material purposes. Their pleasures are purely physical. There's nothing else in the world to it. So it's this huge creature. It's, so to speak, physical pleasure and reasons for being in the world. Livyasan represents energy, an invisible, indestructible force at the core of all matter which holds everything together. If you can release that awesome power of energy in some way, shape, or form, you could literally destroy the world. You have the ability to take energy and go through. When a significant amount of a certain amount of energy is released, it's literally world destructive, and that's a fear that now haunts mankind. If a nuclear holocaust is unleashed, if the energy is used badly, it's the end of the world that we know it itself. That's what it means by the fire, the heat that emits when it sneezes, the awakening it, its invincibility, its dormant for right now, its power that if it's released is literally indestructible. That's what it refers to over here. And that's the idea that he was saying over here, that the Leviathan refers to literal destruction of the entire world over here. Pretty crazy, right? It's pretty good over here. And in this, energy is a supreme force, but man's power of intelligence is by far the highest form of this energy. That we have the power to control that type of energy if we learn how to use it correctly.
Yeah,
right? And that's that. Yeah, what were you going
to
say?
Our ability, the person's ability, goes far beyond energy that you can sort of tell exists, like a nuclear energy.
Well, I don't know. I don't know if
actually matter.
I don't know if that's true. Exploding. We cannot. I can't make anything explode like energy can explode.
Exactly. But the energy that's exploding is not what it's talking about here. The energy that it's talking about that's way higher than nuclear energy, which is something still physical, is the spiritual aspect. The energy.
I don't think that's what he's saying.
Well, he's not talking about nukes.
No. Yeah, he is.
Why do you say that?
Again, it's energy being released in such a form that it can destroy the earth.
Okay, but energy can be released in such a form that it could destroy the earth if it's a spiritual energy as well.
Well, he's not talking about spiritual. Again, this whole thing was to represent the two parts of the physical world to Eve. There is the physical aspect to the world, right, which is literally the physical, that's the Behemoth, and then the energy that's in the world. Both are technically physical, even though energy you can't touch and whatever it is. But they're referring to that. We're not referring to Ruchnius because that's not something Eve needed to know about, nor is it something in the world that's a power that he had to deal with. That's not what we're referring to over here. He's referring to those things in the world itself.
So how can a person's mind, or a person's energy, physically destroy the world?
A person's energy? I didn't say a person's energy. Energy can destroy the world. A person has the ability to release. But what I did say is that there is something more powerful, and that's your thought process. The thought process is there. What we have to worry about, and the idea is that eventually we'll be able to eat from the Leviathan. We'll be able to take over what the Leviathan has and what it is over there.
Because if you want to destroy the world, you could think, I'm going to press this button and release this nuke.
Yeah, and to be able to go through, which is a really, really cool idea. At the end of the day, that's what he's referring to over here. We got this. There's a tremendous Vilna going over here, but that's the idea behind it. Unfortunately, we didn't finish. I thought we were going to be able to finish today. But we'll save Parak Mem Beis, the final Parak of Eul, for next week. And then we will start Daniel or Ezra Nehemiah next week. I don't know. We got to do Daniel before Ezra Nehemiah. So we'll figure